You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So Amy has just read us the version of the resurrection story from the Gospel according to John, the story of that Easter morning in the garden. What I want to do this morning is also offer to you Mark's version. It's much shorter than John or even Matthew's version of the resurrection story, but it has some interesting perspectives on this amazing event. Listen to what Mark writes. I'm in chapter 16, and I'm reading this morning from the Message version. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they could embalm him. Very early on Sunday morning, as the sun rose, they went to the tomb. They worried out loud to each other, "Who will roll back the stone from the tomb for us?" Then they looked up, saw that it had been rolled back. It was a huge stone, and they walked right in. They saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed all in white. They were completely taken aback, astonished. He said, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, the one they nailed on the cross. He's been raised up. He's no longer here. You can see for yourselves that the place is empty. Now on your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going on ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there. Exactly as he said." They got out as fast as they could. Beside themselves, their heads swimming, stunned, they said nothing to anyone. Now, in the earliest manuscripts of Mark's gospel that have been found, this right here at verse 8 is where Mark's gospel ends. Right here. Now, some translations of verse 8 are even more abrupt and disturbing to us. If I were to go to the New Revised Standard Version, this is what verse 8 says. It says, "So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." I think that's an interesting translation. Because terror, amazement, it might be better translated as overwhelming bewilderment and fear. Those aren't the typical emotions that we associate with Easter morning, are they? No, Easter's a joyous time of renewal and resurrection, and yet these three ladies were terrified, according to Mark's gospel. Mark's initial ending is uncomfortable. Maybe even for Mark, because sometime later, either Mark or someone else was inspired by God to add to it later. And so later manuscripts include verses 9 through 20, which you'll find in your Bible today, which talk about Jesus's appearances to Mary Magdalene and then to the disciples on the road to Emmaus and the commissioning of the disciples and the ascension of Jesus to the right hand of God the Father. It's all great stuff. It's all gospel truth. But this morning, this Easter morning, I want us to concentrate on Mark's original 8 verses. I think you'll find them revealing. if you pause at verse 8 without going on to verses 9 through 20. So let's look at the women at the tomb. In verse 1, Mark tells us that Mary Magdalene, the woman out of whom Jesus cast the seven demons, and another Mary, Mary the mother of James, sometimes referred to as the other Mary, and Salome, who was the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Also, Zeb's wife. Not to be confused with a different Salome, who was the daughter of Herod II and Herodias, the ones who demanded the head of John the Baptist. These three women brought spices after the Sabbath had ended and went to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. But I think you can start to see as you read this that there were a few wrinkles in their plan, if they even had a plan. They hadn't quite thought this whole thing through. They were motivated by something different than logic and reason. Things they hadn't thought about. How would they roll away the huge stone? How would they convince the guards at the tomb to even let them approach? How would they deal with the decay and decomposition that would already be well underway in the hot climate after a day and a half in the tomb? Why would they want to anoint the body again after Nicodemus had already wrapped the body in 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes before the burial in the tomb? See, clearly the women with the plan as they had it were not even expecting a resurrection to have taken place. Even though Jesus had told them many times before that he would rise from the dead. And clearly they were driven by a different set of expectations on that Easter morning. They hadn't thought it through. But then we can't be too hard on them, because love, even from the human perspective, often causes irrational actions, doesn't it? Turn to your neighbor and say, love makes me crazy. Just seeing if you're awake. See, love often responds with little thought ahead of time. It tends to be spontaneous and illogical. It's driven more by passion and compassion than by conscious thought. And so, driven by love for Jesus, they went to the tomb. And when they arrive, the stone is already rolled away. And when they look inside, they're greeted by an angel who's dressed in white. And they are afraid. But the angel does what angels always do when they appear before humans. They say, don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you you would. So then in verses 4 through 7, Mark tells us the good news of the resurrection. An angel in white. Angels in white in Scripture, by the way, are typically there to reveal to humanity divine truth. And the divine truth this particular angel reveals is that the tomb is empty. Jesus, the one you seek, he was here, he was dead, he was buried, but now he is risen, he is no longer here. So don't hang out here in the place where the dead belong, the angel tells them. Go and tell Peter and the others that he is risen. And so finally we get to verse 8. the last verse of Mark's gospel before the other stuff was added in. What a way to end the gospel according to Mark. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So here's the thing about ending it there. See, if we add verses 9 through 20, where all the appearances of Jesus are discussed as they are in the other gospel accounts, if we talk about the evidence of Jesus's resurrection, his appearances, we have a stronger case, do we not? We have testimony that supports the resurrection other than just the account of these three well-intentioned women coming upon an empty tomb and an angel proclaiming the resurrection. If I had to present this as evidence in a courtroom, I surely would like to have all those eyewitness accounts, wouldn't I? But here's the thing about the resurrection. Don't get me wrong, I'm here to tell you this morning that verses 9 through 20 of Mark and the other gospel accounts that talk about the appearances of Jesus after that Easter morning are in every way truth, in every way accurate. They are the real deal. But the thing about the resurrection I want you to remember this morning, the way that Mark ends it in the original gospel, in the original 8 verses in chapter 16, the thing about the resurrection is that it is not a question of evidence, of which there is plenty, but rather it is a matter of faith. It was a matter of faith then, and it is a matter of faith now. Either you believe it as a Christian or you don't believe it and can't call yourself a Christian at all. The gospel of Jesus Christ has never been about the evidence. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not about the evidence. It's always been about the faith. It's always been about the faith. Why then were the women in such a state of terror and amazement and fear? I think it's because suddenly it was all true to them. Suddenly the teacher was no longer just Rabbi, but was God incarnate to them. Suddenly, Jesus was everything that he said he was, and now it was their time to respond appropriately, to do as the angel had said, to go tell the others that Jesus is risen, that Jesus was indeed who he said he was. And if you're a Christian today, and I ask you, as I often do, to go out there and tell someone about the risen Savior, perhaps we react with a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of fear, maybe even a small degree of terror. How will I be received by others if I go talk about Jesus to them? Especially that he's a risen Savior. Will they think I'm some sort of Jesus freak? Will they brand me as intolerant of others, as judgmental, as holier than thou, as self-righteous, as any of the other things that society tries to project onto those who dare to call themselves Christian? Now, we can't judge these three women too harshly for not telling anyone at first what they had just witnessed. Because proclaiming the gospel, even if you completely believe it, is not easy. It's not easy. I won't make you say it. Yes, I will. Turn to your neighbor and say, it ain't easy. It ain't easy being like Jesus. this Easter morning, I'm here to tell you it is not a time of terror or bewilderment or fear for us as Christ followers. For those of us who believe, the resurrection is the power and wisdom of God at work in this world. You see, in a world that operates off of the premise of proof, the resurrection is not at all about that. It's truly not about the evidence that Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried, and rose from the dead 3 days later. No, it's about faith. The faith that we have in him, that he, in fact, accomplished those things. And that by believing on him, we get to share in that resurrection. We get to benefit from his work on the cross and in the grave, so that through him, we need not fear death. We need only rejoice in the life, the eternal life that he gave to us. And the hope we have in him that he will come again very soon and take us home with him. See, it's not at all about the evidence. It's about the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.